Acts chapter 2. I feel a little bit like I'm getting ahead because we've got Ascension Day coming up and we've got Pentecost coming up. And yet at that same time, I think it's good for us to consider, and as we move through the book of Acts and the Acts of Christ, I would argue, more than the Acts of the Apostles, but as we look through this as a unit of the wonderful things that Christ continues to do in building his church and spreading his gospel. So we look at the first 21 verses of Acts chapter 2, and feels a little weird because I'm breaking in the middle of Peter's sermon, but at that same time, Peter is in this section and God is in this section specifically addressing the things going on the day of Pentecost. So I think it holds together. So the first 21 verses of Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is not only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thus far the reading of the Word of God. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, if you think back to the early chapters of the Bible, you will remember Babel. The Tower of Babel, at which the languages of the world were confused. And why were they confused? Because mankind did not want to worship God. They wanted to worship themselves. They wanted themselves to be important. And as we look at the day of Pentecost, we see the opposite going on. Those who had never spoken these languages and had possibly never even heard them spoken were speaking languages, tongues. The Spirit of God goes forth. As we've been talking about the idea of witness in the book of Acts, Jesus said to the disciples before he ascended into heaven, "You will be witnesses from Judea and Jerusalem to Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And God sends his Spirit upon them, giving them power to to be those witnesses. And God sends His Holy Spirit on all believers. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit, we're told elsewhere, which raised Christ from the dead, gives life to our mortal bodies, giving us the ability to be witnesses, giving us the ability to fight against sin in our own lives. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is God's Spirit gives His disciples power to voice His word, to be those witnesses. God's Spirit gives His disciples power to voice His word. In the verses 1 through 3, we see that God pours out His Spirit on the disciples on Pentecost. Verses 4 through 13, we see that God's Spirit makes the disciples able to bring the gospel in foreign languages. In verses 14 through 21, we see that Peter shows the promise of this event from Scripture. God pours out His Spirit on the disciples on Pentecost. Now, as we think about Pentecost, we have to realize that Pentecost was an Old Testament feast. What is going on in the Old Testament here? Because we sometimes think about Pentecost only in New Testament terms. Pentecost was the Feast of Weeks, 50 days after the Day of Atonement was called, among them, the Feast of the First Fruits, the Feast of Weeks, which was 7 weeks, and one day would be 50 days. And the name Pentecost comes from the Greek term for that, which speaks of the 50 days. And it was the Feast of the First Fruits. It was at the end of the wheat harvest, but the rest of the harvests were yet to be brought in. And so as we look at this, we see the New Testament picture is the first fruits. The Holy Spirit was sent out on the disciples as the first fruits, and the Spirit would go on all believers. One of the big differences, by the way, between the Old Testament and the New Testament is the Holy Spirit seems to be able to come and go from believers in the Old Testament. He stays. He is sent. The third person of the Trinity, it dwells in all believers in the New Testament. We read 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Each one of us is a temple of God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And so God sends His Spirit on the disciples. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each one of them. The Spirit is the Spirit in the tongues of fire. Is the Spirit in the wind? No, of course not. The Spirit is in the disciples. The Spirit dwells in these disciples. Think of the wind. Going back to 1 Kings, we talked about this with Elijah, 1 Kings 19. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake." But God sends this wind, and it is to bring the community around. Now remember, by the way, just think back to the Old Testament feasts. The men of Israel were to gather in Jerusalem 3 times a year at the feasts. And so this is not just when we hear about people dwelling in Jerusalem. I would argue that that dwelling idea is not these were people who lived there all the time. They were there for the feast, and so this was a big deal. And when you're at, think of 4th of July or a family gathering somewhere, oftentimes what are you doing? Talking and twiddling your thumbs. All of a sudden something big happens in your backyard. You're sitting in the house going, huh. Everybody goes out and looks. We got rubber necks as human beings. We look, watch, what's going on? And so the wind comes. And by the way, the Spirit also has the idea of wind. John writes, John 3:8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. We can look at the wind. The wind is not the Spirit. But we can see the effects of the wind. It's been pretty windy here, hasn't it? We can watch the wind, or rather the effects, but you can't see the wind happen. And the Spirit makes the disciples able to bring the gospel, to be those witnesses. The multitude gathers, as we said, human beings are so easily brought together. What happens living down in Chicago and when I was at seminary, how many times do you have a secondary accident because everybody's rubbernecking? What's going on over there? And then it hits somebody else. Well, we as human beings all want to know what's going on. And so when this noise comes, it was that everyone in Jerusalem, all of those gathered together for Pentecost, would come together. And the Holy Spirit was sent out upon the disciples. The sound was notable. They hear that noise, and they gather together. And God is giving the opportunity for the disciples to be witnesses. Witnesses to the sending of the Holy Spirit. And God is giving Peter the opportunity to preach his Pentecost sermon. And remember what happened, verse 41. 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. We see the effects of the Holy Spirit on the disciples. And one of them was the tongues that they were able to speak in. We see other effects going on in other chapters. We see Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. The power of the Spirit within them to speak to them. They gave their lives even, many of the disciples, because they would not recant and say Jesus had not risen from the dead. And we see the effects of the Spirit in believers. Ezekiel 36:25-27. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. By the way, in the modern church, the effects of the Spirit are not tongues. The tongues were for the early apostolic church to demonstrate and to give them the ability to witness to other cultures. The effects of the Holy Spirit are transformed hearts that love God, that love His Word, that hate sin. You know, you get into these churches that claim of the second blessing of the Spirit. We all should be talking in tongues. Well, what are tongues? Let's take a second about that. Now, what are tongues? They are God giving the miraculous ability to speak another language. Notice the languages that are listed here. Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those from Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. Now there are those who will tell us, oh, there are angelic tongues. And sadly, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:1 has been used to say that tongues could somehow be the languages of angels. If we look at that passage, Paul is there exaggerating for effect. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Notice, he's saying love. He's extolling love, not tongues. And so he's exaggerating purpose. But here, and again, when we see tongues given, they are human languages. They are ability to speak languages that they had not heard. Notice what's said about the disciples. That they were Galileans. Are not all of these who speak Galileans? Galileans were not known as educated, the intelligentsia, Harvard grads. They were kind of known as rednecks. Well, what does that mean? They're saying they're speaking in numerous languages. This would have been amazing. And for some of them, languages they had never heard before. Because that's the power of God's Spirit, to bring His gospel. Can God use me? Can God use you? Yes. But I don't even know what to say. What did God say to Moses when he said that? I can't talk good. Who made your mouth? You think God can use you to bring the gospel to someone? Oh, yes. And God uses our halting, faltering lips to bring His word. And so here we have the crowds gathered around. They're amazed. They're perplexed. And what do we do as human beings when we're amazed and perplexed? We kind of try to make sense of it, right? So the hearers try to make sense of the event. They were all amazed, perplexed. They said to one another, whatever could this mean? Some of them asked the right question. There's something weird going on here, right? What's going on? What does it mean? This is, of course, moving on here from Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. But it means the kingdom of God has been open to all nations. That salvation, instead of dividing people, needs to bring together. And that's the picture. As we think about Babel, that self-worship and self-aggrandizement separates us, the Word of God brings us together. Israel had been keeping the gospel to themselves. And that is the exact opposite of what God is doing here. Even in if the disciples wouldn't get that picture until significantly later, the gospel is to go forward. And this is the continued acts of Christ working in His church. And we as the church need to be ready to bring the gospel to everyone and not keep it here for ourselves. But on the other hand, we have those who say, they're just drunk, full of new wine. There are those always who will point away from the supernatural to say, well, it's the common thing, debauchery. They're drunk. Too often we accept explanations that fall short of truly explaining things. You've ever heard of Occam's razor? The simplest explanation is the best. It's not always right. We have to understand that. God doesn't always do things the simplest way. And by the way, definitely Occam's razor doesn't work out very well when we're not looking at all of the parts of what's going on. God is working. Now, people who are drunk may sound weird. Maybe kind of like people who might be attempting to speak in spirit languages. But people who are drunk certainly do not begin fluently to speak in other languages they've never heard, right? It's crazy to think about, and yet people come up with ideas. We're looking for explanations. But these were clearly speaking the truth of the Gospels in languages they had never spoken before, had certainly never studied, and perhaps had never even heard. And so Peter stands up with an alternate explanation. He points to the supernatural, to the power of God, to biblical prophecy. And as we said, man's explanations don't fit the matter, don't fit the data. Peter, standing up with the 11, verse 14, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." Listen up, guys. By the power of the Spirit, Peter stands up. Was Peter a person who stood up a lot? Yes, among the disciples. He always had a word. But when he got elsewhere, he was pretty quiet. By the power of Spirit, Peter stands up to answer their mocking. He continues, verse 15, "For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." Peter points out that their offered explanation doesn't fit the data. There must be something more complex going on here. He says it's only the third hour, about 9 a.m. God is fulfilling his prophecy. God is sending out his Spirit on all flesh. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Peter points to the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Now that's not the first thing we always jump to. If you listen to the 700 Club, maybe you do. Brothers and sisters, we have to realize God is working all things according to his will. And he is working all things together for his glory and for our good. And so to quote Joel in full, Joel 2, 28 through 32, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said among the remnant whom the Lord calls." So the gospel is going out. "On my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and all shall prophesy." The gospel would be spoken, not just through the priesthood and the studiers of the Bible, but by these. And even, he says, by your sons and your daughters. The gospel would go out and be spoken by average people. Visions and dreams would be given to young and old. The Spirit of God. Now going later on in the book of Acts, think about Peter's reaction to the preaching when he preached to Cornelius and those gathered with him in Caesarea, and when Peter there realized that the Holy Spirit would fall not only on the Jews, but on all nations. Acts 10:45, "And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also." God will send his Holy Spirit out and onto all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're often a little slow on the uptake. And so Peter was not fully understanding what he was even being used to say here. And salvation has been demonstrated for all to see and to hear. "I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." Remember what happened at Christ's crucifixion. The sun was darkened for 3 hours. Notice as well the signs that were going on all around Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. Remember also the pouring out of the Spirit here on Pentecost was not hidden, was done openly so that there would be witnesses to the awesome events of God and salvation. God did work wonders through the apostolic church, but he did those wonders with a purpose, to show that the Word of God was being spoken. There were miracles done. There was speakings in tongues, those sorts of things. But those gifts have ceased in the New Testament now. We have to understand that as well. The Spirit is in all believers, and we have a measure to know whether the Word of God is spoken. It's this weird book in its fullness. And by the way, when people think that they have a spirit, the Holy Spirit working in them today to give them new revelation. Which one's more important for them? Of course, whatever God told me last night is far more important than what's in that old book. Well, I like what was said. If new revelations contradict the Bible, they're false. If new contradiction or new revelations confirm the Bible, they're not necessary. We have to realize that. But salvation is demonstrated by these for us today to see and to hear. And we need to be testing what people claim to be God's word against this book. You know how passionate I am that we be in it. The church today is under the sway of billions of heresies because the people of God don't know what God's word says. And so some pastor somewhere comes up with something and nobody says, did you read this thing? It says something totally different than that. Because brothers and sisters, we need to be in the word of God. And we need pastors who are in the word of God. We need to test anyone who claims to be speaking from the Bible, to test them against God's word, so that we can know. So that we can be like the Bereans. Say, is it really so? By the way, as we think about the things, the wonders in heaven above, as we think about the return of Christ, we're told that these events will accompany when he returns. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we said, Peter didn't even understand what he was saying here, did he? Being used to say. And brothers and sisters, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ repents of their sins. But whoever, this was a slap in the face of the Jews who thought that they were special. And by the way, it's a slap in the face often to the church today who says, I'm better. No, I'm not. The only hope I have, as saying a few minutes ago, the wonders of a debtor to mercy alone. It's not that I have something to say to God, look how good I am. We have to be very, very careful. Whoever God calls will be saved. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, that is a person whom God has called. And so, brothers and sisters, as we look at the day of Pentecost, as we look at the opening of this, because there's much to come yet, as we look at the moving of the Holy Spirit, God enables his people to witness by the power of his Holy Spirit in us. Does that mean that I'm going to start speaking, who knows, Romanian fluently quick here a sec? No. But brothers and sisters, that does mean that God gives his people power to speak his word even today. So that God uses us. God can use me in a meeting. It doesn't have to be in the church here. It doesn't have to be a pastor or an elder or a deacon or a seminary professor or something like that. That God uses individual Christians. And that God can use your knowledge to bring his gospel to someone who has never believed, who has never heard, and call them to himself. And so we don't expect with the gift of the Holy Spirit today that we're all going to walk out of here speaking in foreign languages. But we do expect the power of God working in you and I, by which he gives us power to live and power to witness to his gospel to those around us. And we don't need to fear, oh, what if I mess it up? Guess what? God will use us even if we do mess it up. He can. And so as we look at this passage of God's word, God's Spirit gives his disciples power to voice his word. We see that in Peter. We see that in the lives of the apostles as we continue. And we see that in the church throughout history. Amen.